This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers episode 124. Tom, what's cracking?
Oh, you know, things seem to be not returning to normal.
Yeah, you're like, you're not even here in the same room with me. This is a first.
I'm looking at you through an iPad. I probably sound different, not as crisp as usual.
That's right.
However, I'm going to do my best to clearly enunciate for everyone.
Excellent. Well, good luck with that, and I'm sure I'll keep you in check. You've also brought a couple of mates with you all the way from Jersey. We've got Dan and Steph here in our Zoom chat as well. How you doing, guys?
Hi, guys. How are you? Thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks for coming on and, helping us flesh out an episode where there's pretty much no news, because how can you have entertainment news when no one's allowed to make entertainment? So we'll be making it. Yeah, everything's shut.
Funny you guys bring that up, because I've always thought about what would be on the news if it wasn't all about coronavirus at the moment. You know, like, what's going on in the world?
Well, in Australia, we just let like a really notorious religious pedophile out of jail. So that's what everyone's talking about today. So it's not just the one bushfire that everyone's dealing with. There's a whole dumpster load.
Yeah. 2020 is a thing, isn't it? It's just...
I'm over it already.
Oh, my goodness. It's just been thing after thing after thing after thing, and I'm exhausted like you are.
Well, the one good thing I could say that's come out of all this is at least people still have their sense of humor, because I've been going crazy with all the memes I've been collecting over a lot of this. Yep. My personal favorite is where somebody says, okay, well, April can't get any worse. And then they show like the Death Star arriving on Earth.
You know? That's good. You should send that to us. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I have a plethora of memes. Some you may have seen, most you probably haven't. So another one of my favorites is, it's like a group chat and it says, China has started a group. And then it says, China has added the rest of the world to the group. And then it says, China has now left the group.
So where do you find them? Like, are you on Twitter or Reddit or everything?
There's a couple you can follow on Instagram. One I believe is called Meme Base, and the other is called Know Your Meme. And then I work with a lot of sick bastards who just post all kinds of crazy shit on Facebook.
Fantastic! It's all about the sharing of the memes. Yes, yeah, so you should send us a few, and we'll stick them up on our Instagram page. That'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, most definitely.
And now, a word from our sponsor. You've watched everything on Disney Plus, gotten through the majority of Netflix, rewatched infomercials so many times you can mouth along to the fake excitement. You've read all the murder mystery books your mother lent you and reread all the Walking Dead comics. All the puzzles have been done, you've spoken to countless people on the phone instead of just texting, and for once your house is beautifully dusted. What can you do when you've consumed all the consumable entertainment? Imagination. Coming to a brain near you. Your own imagination, personally catered just for you. Use your brain to control your thoughts and create all of the fun you'll ever need. Go on amazing adventures around the world. Into outer space. Be the hero. Save the day. Have a romantic interlude. Grab it while you can. In your head today.
Now, Tom, like a lot of people in this world, you're kind of doing a lot of working from home at the moment.
Working from home, teaching from home, exercising from home, and generally going a little bananas. Shaved a lot of my head. I've got bleach coming.
Really? You are going to do the bleach?
I'm going full Joe Exotic.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm committing to it on air right now. Stay tuned, everybody.
You'll
because,
be seeing it
is happening. I figure, why not? Who the hell cares? I'm going to look amazing.
Yeah, well, that's a word you could use for sure.
I'm going to start a harem, Doc Antle style, but look like Joe Exotic. Best of both worlds.
Oh, merging into one. I'm still going into the office, but I'm pretty much sitting in a room by myself all day, which is fine. I still make the journey here and back, so I feel like I've gone somewhere. But I know you, Dan, and Steph are not at all spending time at home. In fact, you guys are pretty busy because your jobs are considered essential.
Yes, we're right in the thick of things. Stephanie here is an RN, so she's really got her elbows deep at the moment. And then as far as it goes for me, I mean, the police don't stop working. The jails don't stop closing. You know, I mean, it's a 24/7 job also. Thankfully, they've been minimizing staff and letting people, you know, some of us are on, like tomorrow I'm on call. So they'll call me in if they absolutely need me. But
yeah, right.
They're trying to do their best to distance us, so to speak. You know what I mean? And not have exposure to anybody.
See, I would think, I'd say, yeah, that's the complete opposite for you, Steph. I mean, I'm just assuming you're working more. I've got a friend who's a doctor in an emergency big hospital here in Sydney, and she's just working all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we were already working at not at a minimum level of staff, but we, you know, we made do. But now nurses are kind of starting to drop like flies. Everyone's getting sick. And they're out of work. So now the rest of us have to pick up the slack and just keep it going.
Is it almost the sort of thing for you or others where you're like, if I actually sit down, take a break, I know I'm going to get sick. So if I just keep going, I'm going to be all right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. An object in motion stays in motion.
Yeah.
You just have to keep going. And, you know, it really has helped having all of, you know, the nurses really working together and helping each other, helping with, you know, even stuff outside of the hospital. We have childcare groups that have formed because we can't take off to stay home with our kids. So if someone has a day off, they're watching everyone else's kids.
They're almost like, I just want to go back to work. This childcare stuff is exhausting.
Yeah. I actually got up on the roof today for a little while just to get away.
I went out there to check on her. She was sitting in the middle of our roof texting.
That's amazing.
Old school.
Well, you got found out, so you got to find a new hiding spot now.
I have ways.
So, Dan, you said that you're on call a bit more because Tom has been talking about the ever elusive Dan. Because you know I'm obsessed with those jail and prison reality shows on TV and Orange is the New Black.
Why don't we go from the beginning when how Tom and Stephanie met.
Okay.
I don't know if the listeners know that. Tom, do you want to take it or do you want me to?
Sure. Look, it's a place that we can't even stroll down and visit in memory lane at the moment because it's all shut up shop. But it was in Disney World Magic Kingdom Orlando. In 2000, I want to say 16. Was it 16 or 17?
Yeah, no, it was 16.
We were there for Stephanie's 30th birthday. So, yeah, it was 16.
That's it. And we were, I believe it was outside Big Thunder Mountain or Splash Mountain. And you had a vape. And I was like, what's that?
Yeah, I got it right here, actually. Yeah.
I had not seen a vape pen before. Anyway, I was asking about that. Started having a chat, got along. And then just kept bumping into each other over the course of...
Was it like 2 days later we saw you at Epcot right when it opened? We walked through the gates and there you were sitting down or something?
Yeah. Hey, I was enjoying a breakfast milkshake. I was still drunk from the night before. Yeah, and we hit it
funny
off.
Because that was the first time I've been to Disney World since I was 7 years old, actually. So it was... But I got to tell you, walking into the Magic Kingdom for the first time as an adult, it was like I turned into 7 years old all over again.
Yeah, right. So I was going to ask if it was different, but obviously not, except for the fact that you'd be tall enough to go on all the rides.
Yeah. And, you know, me and Stephanie made a point to go before we had children, you know, mm-hmm. So we didn't have to deal with all the I'm hot, I'm tired, buy me this, I got to go to the bathroom. You know, I actually had a friend posting pictures on Facebook. It was nothing but of his kids always crying, and he'd just say, "The happiest place on earth."
It's a lie.
I can attest it's a very different experience with child, without child.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Yeah. So to go back around to what you guys were starting before I interrupted, you know, with me and Tom's history, or rather our history with Tom. What were you going to ask, Leah?
Yeah, it's just going to delve into the world of shows like Orange is the New Black and 60 Days In, I think it was called.
I'll tell you guys this much. It's hard for me to watch a lot of stuff because I like to leave work at work.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you look at so many stripes and orange jumpsuits before you know what I mean? It starts to blend in like zebra patterns. and you're kind of tired of it at the end of the day. But so Stephanie was a huge fan of Orange is the New Black, but I caught plenty of episodes.
It's a good show.
And I've seen a number of episodes of Oz also in the past. Yeah, they're interesting. Let's put it that way.
So with shows like, you know, shows that are dramas that are set, you know, in prisons or jail, I would imagine it'd be kind of like me if I see stuff that's set in a radio station and you go, that's not real. That would never happen. You wouldn't put that there. That's not how we do that. Is that how you end up watching it?
Well, I think I go in with the attitude of knowing it's Hollywood.
Yeah, right.
If I sat there and nitpicked it, it would probably drive me crazy. Usually I'll nitpick other things. You know, like it might be something in Jurassic Park or Jurassic World, rather now, as they call it, where I'll say, that's not real. You know, like Stephanie
the
pointed
dinosaur.
Out. Claire was running in the high heels from the T-Rex, you know? And meanwhile, it's like, but she's being chased by a T-Rex. Of course it's not really happen, you know?
Layers of unrealness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where I think Danny goes in to whatever he watches with a little bit of a suspension of disbelief, I'm more the one to be looking out for, that's just from, you know, working in the medical field and watching medical shows and being like, oh, come on. Like, don't you have a consultant to get this stuff right? It's not that hard. But with the jail shows, I think Orange is the New Black, especially the first season, they did a fantastic job. Mm. Absolutely fantastic job with it. It really, girls really are like that in jail.
Really?
That I can attest to. I would rather deal with 100 men than 30 women. They're dramatic. They're rough. They fight the most. They fight very dirty. I actually, I won't get into too much detail, but I can remember I was like, when they went back and watched the video, you could see me slide across the table like something out of the movies as I'm tackling a girl that's about 6'4" who's attacking another girl who was hiding underneath the table.
There's a lot going on in that picture you just painted.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. It's one of those few fights that stuck out in my head, you know. and some of these women I wouldn't want to be locked in a room alone with, let me tell you.
Fair.
Well, to give you guys an idea what a correction officer's job entails, yes, I carry a gun, but not inside the jail. So outside, any duties like that, yes, but most of them, your only level of protection is your radio, your handcuffs, and your street smarts. I can't say this for other states, but my facility and in New Jersey, they allow me to carry at least pepper spray, which has come in handy in other times. Not even so much for my own protection, but you can only tell them to stop fighting so many times before they won't stop fighting, and that usually ends really quickly.
Yeah, right. I was wondering if you know, you were sort of talking about what you can and can't carry, if maybe your main approach is more deflating whatever the issue is.
De-escalating, as we like to call it.
De-escalating, what a great word.
We kind of learn a thing, they call it verbal judo. And sometimes your words get you by a lot easier. And this is where Hollywood makes it look bad. You know, if you watch something like what's the one with Andy Dufresne? God, I can't think of it now. Shawshank. Yeah. How could I not even think of that? I'm so disappointed in myself. And you watch Shawshank and you see how some of the guards, you know, like that one main guard, I forget his name, the way he talks to the guys, that really doesn't, let me put it this way. The officers I've seen have problems are the ones that are disrespectful.
Okay.
In order to get respect, you don't demand it. It has to be earned. That's just human nature. I will get a much better reply from an inmate when I was walking. Now, these are back in my grunt days. Now I'm a supervisor. So, but when I was working the pods, the tiers, whatever, you know, different jails call it different things, the cell blocks, I get a much worse reply if I said, "Hey, your room looks like shit, clean it up," and I walk off versus, "Hey, my man, do me a favor. Sergeant's going to be coming through here doing a tier inspection. Shit rolls downhill. He's going to chew my ass out. And then I got to get on your ass about how your bed's not made and there's garbage everywhere. Clean this up for me. And then we don't have to hear about it." Yeah, sure. No problem.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Much better approach.
It's all in the delivery.
Yeah. You know, you don't have to be soft with them and they will mistake in your kindness for weakness. So you need to know at what level to be on. You know, do I want to be at a level 1 or a level 10?
So it's really about reading the people.
Yeah. But they can read you too. And that's what they do all day. They study you. So you kind of have to be on your toes about it and not let your guard down, so to speak.
You made me think about a couple of shows here in Australia. One's called, I think it's RBT or something. It's like, it's the police who do like the speed checks and the drink driving sort of checks. And because they're dealing with people who they can tell have probably had a few drinks and shouldn't be driving and know they're going to be in trouble, they're really good at, what did you call it, de-escalating. So instead of going off and saying, "Excuse me, roll down your window immediately and get out of the car," they go, "G'day, mate, how's it going? Having a nice night?" You know, like, so they start off really, and I've noticed that there's a New Zealand program that does something really similar, Highway Patrol or something like that. And the way they
Police 10-7.
That's it. Police 10-7. That's a good show. And they're really good at doing the easy with all mates.
There's a really good clip that went viral from that show from years ago. But a police officer pulls over a guy who's speeding at night. Not crazy speeding, just a little bit over. And he says, "Why are you going so fast?" He's like, "Bro, I've just been to the service station and I want to get home to eat my pie." And the policeman says to him, he goes, "Oh, bro, that pie is much too hot. You need to let it cool down. Drive slower, hey?" And lets him go. That's what our cop shows are kind of like, a lot more like,
well,
that.
I'll tell you guys this much. There's a term that I learned. I can't speak for all of America when I say this. This is just locally, okay? Especially in New Jersey. And I'm sure I'm going to hurt some feelings if any of my brothers in blue are out there right now. And then some will probably raise their hands and cheer. And that term is, corrections officers make great cops. Cops make shitty corrections officers. I once met a man who lived around here who was retired from LA County Sheriff's Department. In order to get on the road on patrol there, you have to start in one of their jails for at least 2 to 4 years, somewhere around there. And then you have a choice. You can go on the road or you can make a career out of the jail work. They have 16,000 prisoners. LA County is the size of half of the state of New Jersey alone. So what he was telling me was how few problems LA County Sheriff's Department had interacting with the public versus LAPD. Because LAPD would come out of the academy with their heads all blown up. This is from his mouth, not mine. And he was explaining to me how they think, "I'm going to arrest the world, including my own mother, and I'm going to save the world. And I'm going to," you know, they all thought they were hotshot. So they would go out there at a level 10 all the time versus LA County was a lot. You're a lot more humbled when you're around all those people because you need to know, you learn how to talk to people.
Yeah.
And how to deal with situations. So one thing that came to mind, if you guys want to see the closest thing that I'd say Stephanie and I both saw, when it comes to, I wouldn't say the behavior, but some of, like, just the atmosphere that her and I saw. Would you say that movie, Let's Go to Prison?
Oh, wow. Really? With Will Arnett?
Yes. Not a very popular movie. But some of the things, like when they put him in solitary, that cell he's in looks exactly like one of the cells. Actually, Stephanie used to work there. That's how we met. She was a nurse in the jail at the time. And I pointed out how that looked like one of our particular cells, and I threw the cell, you know, number name out there, and she was cracking up. It was like identical, you know. So
someone must have visited it and then asked the set decorators to recreate it or something.
Depending on what it is, when it comes to Hollywood, it's anywhere from, I'd say, 25% to 50% accurate, and then the rest is amped up. You know?
Yeah.
So, Stephanie, I have to ask, with the which would be the worst TV doctor to work for? Like, it's got to be House, right?
Oh, it's definitely House.
Because everyone thinks that he's so dreamy and clever. He's an infuriating scumbag.
Every doctor has a bit of ego to them. They have to be able to do their job well. But he's just, I mean, above and beyond anyone else.
All right. And then on the flip, who would be best? Who are some good ones?
You know, I would love to. Now this is going back a bit. This isn't a show that's on anymore. But I would love to work with Dr. Perry Cox from Scrubs.
Oh, cool. Yes.
As much of a jerk as he could be, he was a good doctor, and he really cared about his patients, and he cared about his coworkers.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know if you've seen, but Zach Braff has just started a rewatch with Donald Faison. They're doing a rewatch podcast series of Scrubs from the beginning again, which is awesome.
Yeah, I think that's fun.
What the world needs that pairing right now.
Yeah, for sure.
When they're, you know, with all these reboots they're doing and things like that, that's one of those shows. A lot of times I roll my eyes at those things. That's one of those shows I feel like could come back and never run out of material. Right up there with Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's been years since I've watched Scrubs. Now you're making me think maybe I should jump back into it again.
I think you should.
It's been long enough as well. I probably don't remember most of the storyline arcs either.
I know one show that Stephanie tried to get into and she couldn't was Nurse Jackie.
Yeah, it started out very realistic, and then it just too much. Real life generally doesn't have that much drama in it. And I get it. You have to make it dramatic for TV, but man, some stuff was just so unrealistic that I couldn't keep going with it.
Wasn't she in 30 Rock? I think she played Alec Baldwin's girlfriend for a while. I'm pretty sure she was in there. Because I remember when Nurse Jackie started, I went, I know her from something. I couldn't put my head on. I think it was 30 Rock.
Was it Felicity Huffman or was it Edie Falco? No, not Edie Falco.
Edie Falco. That was Tony Soprano's wife.
Yeah.
She's been busy.
I think I'm confusing. What's it? Was it The Big C or I don't know? There was another one.
Was Laura Dern The Big C?
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't watch it.
Some serious dramas are blended together in my mind.
Yeah, fair enough.
The team's still tuning in for the Truman Show. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
Do you want to have a bit of a chat about the stuff that's never potentially not coming to cinemas anytime soon, movie theaters?
Can we?
It's going to be a little bit depressing, but I mean, I know, Tom, you go to the movies a lot.
Yeah.
More than me. What about you guys? Dan, Steph, do you watch stuff at the movies very often?
We like to go every once in a while when we can get a babysitter.
Yeah,
it's a little harder now.
We kind of try and decide between, okay, is this a movie that has to be watched in the theater with the sound and the visuals, or can it wait until it comes out streaming and we can watch it at home and not really lose too much of the effect?
I reckon that's what a lot of people do these days.
I'm kind of afraid that the movie theater is going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, Disney's releasing Onward to streaming, and it kind of worries me that this is going to set a trend.
Well, Trolls 2 is coming out later this week on iTunes and everything, like direct download, and that's not even having a theatrical release now. And that was a big tempo.
I mean, that scares me because the movie theater is an experience. I can remember, was it the 25th anniversary of Back to the Future? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen that movie a million times, just like anyone who else is a fan of it. But just to get, you know, 1985, I was 2 years old. So to get to go see that on the big screen and just have that experience was exciting to me. Same thing, they did it for an anniversary for Ghostbusters. Me and three of my buddies went to go see it together. We actually had the whole theater chuckling out loud because the part where Rick Moranis says, yes, have some, we all said it together out loud in the theater. Everybody busted out laughing. But it was great because, again, when did Ghostbusters come out, the first one? Was that 84?
I think about 84, yeah.
Yeah, and I was born in 83. You know. Oh, speaking of Ghostbusters, what do you guys think of the new one that's supposed to be releasing?
Well, it's on the list of one of the movies that is not going to come out for ages. They're talking now March 2021. So we've got ages to wait.
Ain't afraid of ghosts, but are afraid of bad box office.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I hope some of these directors and studios take that extra time to do proper editing.
Yeah.
Or maybe get a couple more scenes filmed. I mean, I don't see why they can't. I mean, most of it's green screen in the studio now, you know. So, you know, if you're going to keep us waiting longer, make a good movie at least.
I'm very nervous about all of this. As I said, I go to the movies a lot, you know, less with a kid and this sort of stuff now. But I generally try and go most Thursdays and see new release stuff so that I can talk about it for the show and this sort of stuff. I'm a former film critic by trade. So this is a whole real big shake up to what is the routine of my life and you know, what sort of how I gauge things. And I'm real bummed that I can't go to the movies to see this stuff. But I think that there's a really cool opportunity that not necessarily Hollywood, but cinema and movies as a whole can really shake up the distribution model here in that keep the cinema experience for those films that really warrant it. But now all the small rom-coms that have traditionally, like over the last 5 years, really have migrated to Netflix, let that be a thing and stop trying to push indies at the film, at the cinema, and allow, you know, the Oscars now have to allow streaming services, you know, that produce films for consideration and this sort of stuff. So this is a cool opportunity. So I think we're going to lose a lot of that industry, and there's a big chance that the huge chains, cinema chains, will close down. But I think maybe it's got the potential for it to go like vinyl, of becoming a really cool boutique thing. We're seeing drive-ins are popping up again places, and that boutique experience. In Australia, you know, we have a thing called Gold Class, which is, you know, the fancy seats. And a few cinemas have even gone further and now had a boutique experience past that, where it's like you're seated in a private armchair and you have space around you. So it's almost like they're kind of half prepared for getting audiences back in for that really top class experience. And that, you know, a lot of that of the time, they're using those screens to show older films and bring them back and do, you know, celebrate past works.
Yeah, like Ghostbusters and Back to the Future. I think there's something in those experiences, because I went, maybe a year ago now, went and saw Empire Records at an old movie theater. And it was amazing to watch it because everybody had seen the movie many times. People were anticipating the lines, you know, and saying them out loud like you were. And it just made the movie-going experience so enjoyable that I never anticipated. The only other time I've ever seen anything like that is when I've seen the Sydney Symphony Orchestra perform Star Wars, you know, with the movie behind them. And people get excited because they know what song's about to come up. They know the lines. People are standing up and cheering. That, I think that's the kind of experience that would be where you need to drive your marketing or your business plan if you are a movie theater or chain.
Well, I just hope the production studios don't forget how much money the movie theaters still can pull in. I mean, look at Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, blew everything out of the water, and if it wasn't 3 hours long, I would have went and saw it three times. Tom, I'm sure you're somebody who might have seen it more than once in the theater.
I saw it a couple.
You know, yeah. I can, after about 2 hours, I start getting fidgety in the chair personally.
Fair. Yeah, it's fair enough.
It doesn't help having, you know, a swimming pool size of Cherry Coke that I'm drinking.
You got to ration that stuff. You really do. It's weird to see buses driving around with the movies still advertised on the side of them. Like I've seen Mulan, I've seen Black Widow. I can't remember some of the others, but the movies that were supposed to be out right this very second, and they're just not. Some of them have dates, some of them don't.
I will say I'm a bit nervous for Marvel's plan for Disney, because everything up to this point, they'd synchronized all the films coming out over the next 2 years to line up with the shows coming on Disney Plus.
Mm.
And, you know, Disney Plus, I believe they finished photography on WandaVision.
Right.
And they were only partway through Falcon and Winter Soldier. So that one's on indefinite hold. They may still be able to put out WandaVision later in the year. But from what I understand, it's really important that it syncs up with Doctor Strange 2. Is now not coming out till maybe middle of next year or even December next year. And that's dependent on when they can actually start filming. And, you know what I mean? There's that. But on the flip side, Mandalorian season 2.
It can do whatever it wants.
Very, very nicely.
Answering writers' pup patrol distress calls like a pro. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I actually have a bit of a news story that ties
go, in. Please. I want some Mandalorian story news, because right, I'm really nervous that this is going to be delayed.
No. So Mandalorian is just fine, but it's a cool background story. So, you know, I love Kevin Smith and his various podcasts and stuff. So he's been talking a little bit recently of he had been working on a show for Disney Plus called Kingdom Keepers. Now, Kingdom Keepers is a series of books that I guess you'd class as YA, you know, that young adult group, mm-hmm. maybe even a little bit younger, early readers type thing, but not little kids. And it's about some kids that work at Disney, like junior jobs at Disneyland, and at night they get trapped in there when everything comes to life and they've got to team up and like with good characters to defeat villainous and like Captain Hook's one of the bad guys and stuff. Anyway, Kevin Smith had been developing this series for Disney to be one of the big launch programs potentially for Disney Plus.
Right.
And this is 2 years ago or something like that. And he said basically he shot himself in the foot with the project because they went way too big. And, you know, they'd already dreamt cast Russell Brand as Captain Hook.
All right.
And, you know, some really big names and this sort of stuff. But that they'd just gone so big with using too many different IPs that they weren't able to progress. But it was Kevin Smith working on this show that helped come up with the idea of they can't film at Disney every day. You know, the parks are being used. They can't be there at night. It's too difficult to set up and shoot. So he was like, what if we filmed all of Disneyland from every different angle and created digital mock-up backgrounds and we filmed everything on a green screen? And they're like, that's a great idea. We're going to use that for The Mandalorian. So Kevin Smith.
Oh, thank you, Kevin Smith.
The man who came up with like black and
Jersey
white.
Boys. Jersey boy.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Outside, you know, the guy that owns a comic book shop and stuff. He is the guy who had a huge hand in bringing The Mandalorian to life.
Amazing.
With that amazing tech. And that stuff is more valuable than ever before with what we're going for. Through right now, if you can digitally recreate stuff, there's no reason why Mandalorian has to stop filming, because they can film all their actors separately. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow.
I knew they were filming season two as season one was wrapping up from, you know, releasing on Disney Plus. So pretty sure they have everything they need for now.
Fingers crossed.
I don't know how far they were into it. I can't speak to the studio, but. Let's hope. I mean, I never look forward to the fall and the change of seasons, but I am looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Hey, Zolta, I want my money back. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Another show that has been affected is The Walking Dead. Now, this week we saw the penultimate episode. Yeah, that's right?
Second to last.
Yeah. So next week is supposed to be the season finale, except they didn't get it all done in time. So we don't have the season finale to watch. And they've just said it's coming out later. We don't know when. So everybody's like, what's going on? They also talked that perhaps it wasn't the season finale that was the issue, but it was the third spin-off. New World Order, or I can't remember what it's called. But it may not have finished wrapping up productions, and that the season finale of The Walking Dead was supposed to tell us things that would lead us directly into that into that show. So maybe it's a combination of both, but, I mean, I've really been liking this season, and for it to suddenly just be finished before any big cliffhanger is driving me crazy.
Yeah, I think with what we saw last night, it's a fair guess to say that when Eugene meets Stephanie, that's where we get our introduction to the people for this new show.
Yeah, I think that's
but
it.
But considering that this was not a finale episode, it finished on a pretty good finale moment of a oh shit, what happens next?
Yeah, true.
I don't know. I enjoyed it. We don't need to do a deep dive on it, I don't think, this week.
We're fine. We've got heaps of other stuff
to
talk about.
If you guys need a new episode of Walking Dead, I'm sending Stephanie out on a supply run tomorrow.
Just put a GoPro on.
Yeah.
It's so unpleasant having to go to the supermarket or the grocery store these days. So much so that I go in, I'm like, right, okay, I've got to get everything I need because I'm not coming back. And then the minute I get to the car, I'm like, I forgot like a dozen things. Oh, well, I'm just going to have to go without.
Make a list.
I should.
Make a list.
I've really got to. But then I don't want to touch my phone, so I have to make a paper list.
Well,
hey Siri.
That's what we've been doing with our Alexa at the house whenever whenever we need something.
Oh, look what you did.
Sorry. My Siri answered me. It sounds like Alexa answered you.
My Siri ignores me.
If I could reverse the tracks, I got an interesting story for you guys real quick. Back to Kevin Smith. So Kevin Smith grew up in Leonardo, New Jersey, Red Bank area, which is approximately about an hour and 20-minute drive from our house. So I had an uncle who lived down in Leonardo. First time I brought Stephanie to meet him, I hadn't been down there, God, since I was probably a teenager. And one, because he lives so far from the rest of the family, and two, he usually never travels up to see us. He's just, long story. Great uncle, though. One of my favorites. So as we're driving down the street, I'm talking like 100 yards from his house. It's all coming back to me how to get there. And all of a sudden, I slam on the brakes and totally geek out. Because this whole time, unbeknownst to me, my uncle's house is no more than 100 yards from the Quick Stop where they filmed.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Sign's still up there. I was losing my mind when I saw it. Because as a teenager, I don't even know if the movie was out. I mean, I definitely wasn't into that kind of pop culture at the time.
Yeah.
The movie probably didn't have that kind of popularity that it did then, but I was just losing it. And then to go full circle, I always told Stephanie, because we're always driving down to the Jersey Shore, down the Parkway past the Red Bank area, and that's where they have Jay and Silent Bob's secret stash, which is, his comic store. And when I think he didn't do his podcast there for a while.
Yeah, and Comic Book Men, the TV
comic
show.
So I always wanted to go there. Well, last July, the same uncle had passed away. So the night after his viewing at the funeral home, all my cousins said, "Hey, we're going to go out for a bite to eat. Here's where we're going." And it's some steakhouse, brew house kind of place. We get there, and right across the street from the restaurant is Jay and Silent Bob's secret stash. And I was like, wow, this is just full circle. I mean, thanks a lot, Uncle John,
Kevin Smith stalking you somehow. Yeah. Amazing. I've got a Kevin Smith related story and a New Jersey related story. I was visiting my friends who lived in New Jersey at the time, and they were like, let's drive to Kevin Smith's comic bookshop. I'm like, yeah, that'd be really cool. So I went there and had a walk around. It was really good. It wasn't too busy, which was really nice. Got a bit of time to spend in there. Anyway, I decided I would buy a Buddy Jesus figurine. Oh. I thought that's the one that I'm going to get. So I was so excited when I got home and I got to work, and I was like, I'm going to put my Buddy Jesus on my desk at work and everyone's just going to be like, that's amazing. Not one single person in that whole entire office knew who Buddy Jesus was or knew who Kevin Smith. Well, they knew Kevin Smith, but they didn't know like Jane, Silent Bob, that I got so disappointed and angry with them, I took it home. I was like, you don't deserve to look at it if you don't know what it is.
That was great.
So ridiculous. Anybody else got a Kevin Smith story they would like to tell?
Well, I got one last one. I'm still not sure if I met Kevin Smith. I was really, really inebriated at the time. A friend of mine, he used to be the house band for an event that happens twice a year. Usually happens, I want to say, the first or last weekend in April, and then around the last weekend of Halloween. It's called Chilla Theater. It's like a horror movie.
It's a horror con.
Yeah, kind of horror con, but they have... they also have, you know, I can remember one time I went there and I used to get the VIP treatment when my friend's band was in there because one of the band members is the guy who created this whole event. And his name's Kevin Clement. So, Kevin, if you're listening, I'll give you a shout out for Chilla Theater. Matter of fact, I'll probably hit you up on Facebook and let you know. my friend Tommy was their drummer. You know, they'd have the cast from MASH or they'd have, you know, some of the cast from Animal House too. So they'd have like a whole variety of, you know, not just horror people, but I've met a couple of people that have, you know, played Jason in the movies or Michael Myers.
Wow.
Some of my favorite things I'd have to say, and I'll get back to the Kevin Smith part, was we were sitting in our hotel room drinking beers with the door wide open. I'm sitting on the cooler and it's resting the hotel door open. This guy walks in to the doorway of the hotel room and he's staying right across the hall from us in the hotel. And he says, you guys got an extra beer? And I look up and it was David Carradine. This is like the year prior to him being found dead.
Yeah. No way.
So I got to have a beer with David Carradine. He smelled like a walking joint. There was one time this guy was hanging out in our hotel room and I have faint memories of it. This is how drunk I was. And Tommy had told me it was Kevin Smith. Now, I don't know if he was messing with me or not, but the guy kind of looked like him from what I remember. And all I do remember is saying, oh, man, I loved you in Dogma, especially when you threw Ben Affleck and Matt Damon off of that train. And all I remember him saying is, I didn't really throw them off a train. It doesn't matter. Now, whether it really was Kevin Smith to this day, I don't know.
Was this gentleman wearing a hockey jersey?
No, he wasn't. He was wearing a leather jacket, though.
Probably not.
Probably not Kevin Smith.
No, but I know Tommy did know a lot of people in all kinds of businesses. When his band was playing the one night, I mean, I stood 3 feet from Ray Manzarek from the doors playing with his band because they'd always have somebody huge playing with them. Or Joey Bouchard from the Blue Oyster Cult, I think that's his name. But there was one time, I'll never forget this, where they were playing with Buckethead. And Buckethead had done something very unpatriotic, let's say. I won't get into detail.
Okay.
And my friend Tommy tells me later, he knows Rob Zombie very well. And he said, yeah, Rob Zombie went in Buckethead's trailer and ripped him to shreds, and, you know, called him a communist and God knows what else, I'm sure. And I said, Rob Zombie was there? And he said, yeah, he was standing right next to you through the whole show. Apparently... He dressed so incognito so nobody would notice him that even though I was a foot away from him, I never noticed him.
Is the dreads a wig?
I don't know. I couldn't even tell you if he was there or not. I didn't find out till later, but it was such a cool experience to get to, you know, I mean, bump into some people. I mean, I had a beer with Jimmy Superfly Snuka one time at the bar, you know? You know, you'd walk through the parking lot of that place and you'd bump into... Mick Foley or somebody.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
I walked off the elevator and I bumped into Ron Jeremy one time. You know, it was crazy. Yes. Yeah. I shook his hand out of reflex. And then I was like, yeah, exactly.
Went home and had a shower.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Why don't we get into stuff that we've been watching? Now, I suspect everyone's going to have a really different take on what they've been watching because, Tom, even though, you know, you have been working from home, you're still having to do lots of schoolwork and all that sort of jazz, and you guys are working full-time and I'm sort of somewhere in the middle. Are we all watching stuff that's trying to take our minds off reality? Because I know I am.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yes.
Like the stuff I've been watching has been, I've been watching The Walking Dead. I've been watching Westworld again, which I'm really enjoying. I mean, there's only like 4 episodes so far, but I've really been enjoying it. But I've been watching Parks and Recreation again whilst doing a jigsaw puzzle, and that's...
Treat yourself.
It's so nice. It's so nice. And I'm at that, like, now I'm already thinking about tonight. I'm like, oh, I'll finish that puzzle whilst watching the show. It's going to be great. And I'm going to be very surprised, Tom, if I've watched anything else that's different after this week. Yes. I'll still be watching it.
But I don't think that matters. Look, we're rewatching the Harry Potter series. We've been putting on American Ninja Warrior and just letting a season play out for the day.
Nice.
While we do work around the house, there's stuff. I watched Starship Troopers last night.
No, no way.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Throwing it back.
Oh, I wanted to know more. It was good. look, most of the stuff I'm watching is just real light sort of fare. There's I won't dwell on it too much, but I did watch Birds of Prey or the fabulous Emancipation of One Harlene Quinzel, I believe is its full title. Thank you. That's off the top of my cuff. It was fine. I'm glad I didn't pay to go and see the movies. I did pay to watch it at home through iTunes and stuff because it's out on the US iTunes store and I have an account for reasons that we don't need to go into. The reason why I bring it up is that I've mentioned on the show before that I've been very excited for the animated Harley Quinn series on DC streaming service, which we can't get in Australia, but it too has finally just been added to iTunes. So I've watched the two, and the movie I didn't particularly care for much. It was a real shame. It felt like they're really trying to make her female Deadpool and give her a team. And as we saw with Deadpool 2, Deadpool works best in a team when the rest of the team don't really matter and they're just cannon fodder, where Birds of Prey still tried to make you care about the other characters but still also constantly go, it's the Harley Quinn show.
Yeah, right.
So it was a really weird split between the two. Whereas the animated show, which has Kaylee Cuoco, Penny from Big Bang Theory, is fucking awesome. It's got, like, Every voice on there is someone you know from something else. So
it's got your man, Ron Funches.
Ron Funches voices an 8-foot-tall computer programming shark man.
As you do.
Yes, Alan Tudyk, who K2SO from Solo and stuff. He voices Clayface, but he voices Clayface like a true actor. Not really over the top. Tony Hale, who... Buster from Arrested Development, also Gary from Veep. He plays Dr. Psycho, who is a 3-foot-tall, telepathic, very, very angry individual who gets kicked out of the Legion of Doom for calling Wonder Woman a C-word on national television during a fight. So they all form her crew. Poison Ivy's in there, voiced by Lake Bell, and she's clearly very keen for her homoerotic relationship with Harley Quinn.
Right.
A hint towards that. This show's fucking bonkers. Jason Alexander voices an old man cyborg who's their landlord. It's weird. And yeah, JB Smoove from Curb Your Enthusiasm, he voices the houseplant. Yeah, they have a houseplant called Frank. He's always coming up with plans for them and stuff. There's Poison Ivy lives with them.
Imagine sticking that on your resume. I played a houseplant. Sorry, what?
Yeah, I cannot recommend this cartoon series enough, and I have been rationing it with one episode a day. And I feel like that's a really good thing to have done, but I also get the sense that it's building towards some sort of cliffhanger that's going to smack me in the face, Good Place style.
Yeah, right.
That... I may feel a bit silly in a week when I want to talk about it more, of like not knowing what happens at the end of, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Season 2 has just started on the DC app. But again, I can't get access to that till it gets on iTunes. So I know something big is going to happen towards the end of the season and there'll be ramifications for next season. My God, I'm keen to continue.
It's your favorite at the moment. So what about you guys? What have you been watching when you've been getting home from work and you want to forget about the world?
Well, I'll tell you this much. we don't have a lot of time to watch as much as we'd like to.
Sure.
Between doing shift work, we're like two passing shifts in the night quite a bit. We have maybe one to two nights a week that we're actually home. This being one of them.
And we're using your watching time.
Well, but we're honored. So thank you guys. This is great. I hope we could be returning guests down the road.
I reckon.
I feel, yeah, it's going to happen. Yeah.
So Danny is not a binger when it comes to TV. He prefers to, like Tom said, ration his shows. He actually enjoys when a show is released once a week, which I think is terrible, but
I can watch two or three episodes in a row, but I can't watch a whole season in a day.
Where I could do a solid 14 hours straight.
Yep.
But the one thing I did get him to binge was Tiger King.
Yes.
So what did you think? That's a good reaction.
When I was in the police academy, they used to call me a soup sandwich, which means you're nothing but a mess. That's exactly what Tiger King is, nothing but a soup sandwich.
And it's taken over the world. Everybody's talking about it.
I'm going to add you guys on Facebook to a page that I recently stumbled across called Tiger King Memes.
I've been in there.
I have a plethora of Tiger King memes to show you guys, too, besides the memes I was talking about earlier.
I mean, I feel like there's a reason it's so popular, because it's, first off, it's so well done. I mean, whoever made it did the world a service, especially at the time we're in right now. But it's just bananas, and it's fantastic, and we loved it.
That's a really good way of describing it. It's bananas. And you're right. I think somebody said earlier, what would we talk about in the news if there was no coronavirus? That's what we'd be talking about. We'd be talking about the Tiger King. That's the other news story.
Carol fucking Baskin. That bitch.
Guess what, motherfuckers?
So you heard yesterday that there's tigers with the corona strain. You know who's responsible.
That bitch Carol Baskin.
Yes, Nadia the Tiger, I believe, is her name.
The connections and the arms that stretch out from that series are unreal. I'll have to send it to you guys. I saw a post of somebody who worked not for Exotic. What is it? Joe Exotic? But worked with him, and she went on a rant on Facebook that's been getting shit around. Maybe you guys saw it, Tom. It's actually, I think, on that Tiger King page, about some really, and I'm not saying Joe's completely innocent because,
he's not.
No. I mean, I'm not defending anybody on the series here at all, but Carol just sounds ruthless. I mean, besides the obvious that she killed her husband, I'm convinced she killed Jeffrey Epstein, to be honest with you, at this point. But something that her husband did. I mean, he sounds like he's just a terrible person just as much as she is. And when you hear her speak, I mean, she's just so fake, I mean, her tone, the look on her face. It's just unbelievable.
Stupid flowers in her hair.
Yeah.
Her responses, especially the statement she put out on her website, if maybe 2 to 3 days afterwards, and then updated it continuously since then, it's very vapid. And it's one of those things that, it's interesting that they're reopening that case and looking at it more. There is some very narrative loopholing that the producers pulled on that show, which, I mean, very well done to them. At no point in the series do they actually give you a clear timeline of when the events all happen. So I agree with you, Joe is not innocent, but Carol is just as big a scum. There's barely any good people on that show.
Even Jeff Lowe, who seems like he's gotten away scot-free, I'm waiting for the hammer to drop and the feds get on him too. And the only reason he hasn't gotten in trouble is because he sold Joe down the river.
Yeah. My mate Stu, I've been trying to get him to watch Tiger King. I'm like, this is the sort of show you'll love. And he's like, I'm into two episodes. Everyone seems like a real asshole. except that Jeff guy. He seems all right. And like that makes me realize like it's like talking to someone who hasn't watched Good Place or Lost or, you know, one of those shows where they haven't gotten the twist yet.
Yeah.
Like
this,
none of them are good people.
And, let me tell you, take it from somebody who's seen plenty of inmates cut a deal with the courts or with the prosecutor. Jeff did not have just a measly, what was it, 139 days in Vegas hanging or 179 days hanging over his head. He had a lot more on him because there's no way you're going to work with the feds at that level without having same thing. Who's that fat bastard that that looks like what did Joe describe him as, a walking Chucky doll? You know, he says the feds came and talked to him and said he was in a lot of trouble for the lemur he had.
They had way more on him than a lemur.
And if not, they'll find something or they'll make something up. I mean, I was explaining it to Stephanie. I'm not going to get into too much detail, but it's, you know, these guys think they're fooling the rest of the world. I mean, they're not fooling me. I'm sure they're not fooling a lot of people, but it's, and it just, oh my God, it just runs so deep. You know, I hope there's talks of like a season two. I kind of hope there is.
Well, there's a lot of chatter that there's going to be a follow-up episode next week.
Yep.
Netflix has been out filming at the zoo, apparently.
Well, how about the fact that they didn't even concentrate enough on Doc
Antle.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's got a whole cult going. I mean, he got really defensive too when someone started steering him towards that discussion. Did you see that part in that interview?
I would just like to use the word for our benefit, allegedly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Australian media, we need to use the word allegedly, especially when it's around someone as litigious as that guy.
You know, if you guys get a chance, go on YouTube, and this is not just to YouTube, but the listeners also. I don't know in Australia if they air David Spade's show. What's it called? Like Up Late or
Lights Out?
Lights Out. Yeah, that's it.
It's all YouTube. He's got the interviews.
Yeah, he interviewed like everybody. Who was Joe's husband that had the severe meth mouth and never had a shirt on? Always had a tattoo. Yeah. He's got a whole new grill in his mouth now.
I saw that.
So, but he does an interview with pretty much everybody on the show. The only one I couldn't click on was, I guess he interviewed Jeff Lowe because it just made me want to punch the screen because I know what a loser he is and how much he really deserves to be behind bars as well. And especially with this whole, like, I get to pick the nanny thing, and he picks like this Instagram. You know, and you know, he starts mentioning how his wife has to hit the gym right away. Like, I just want to beat his face into the dirt. You know, I thought I'd break the screen if I watched this interview. But,
and you didn't want to pay for a new screen. I get it.
I mean, he looks like his name should be Kyle, and he's a Monster Energy drink spokesman, you know?
Oh, Tiger King. Well, look, instead of a quiz today, I thought we'd do a would you rather, and it's a would you rather binge watching session. So I've got six, and we'll all decide which one we'd collectively or separately rather watch. First one, sitcom, old school. Would you rather watch Seinfeld or Friends?
Seinfeld.
Oh, Friends. See, Friends for me. Yeah.
Oh, we're split.
50-50.
Oh, God. You can't compare the two.
I want a show about my friends, not a show about nothing.
That's
right. Are you guys going to let the viewers vote on this, too? Maybe put this survey up?
Not a bad idea. We'll see.
Nah, the viewers, sheeple. Do as they're told.
We call them suggestions. They're not really. What about a document? Would you prefer a documentary, like, you know, about a real thing, like sort of the Lion King or Lion King, Tiger King, or a drama series based on a real life story?
Documentary.
Drama.
I was tossing up between the two of them, but I feel like if it's a documentary, but like a movie length one and not a whole series, I think I'd prefer that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes those series, if they're not wild like Tiger King, they just drag on a bit. Okay, I've got an HBO series for you. Would you prefer to watch Sex and the City or The Sopranos? Some old school HBO.
Sopranos.
The Sopranos.
Sex and the City.
It was filmed like 30 minutes from our house.
Sex and the City is filmed in New York City, 45 minutes from
our house. That's the great thing about watching Sopranos, though. We get to see literally everywhere we've been to. I mean, most of it was filmed 30, 40, 45 minutes from our home. So
classic shots and scenes and, well, same with Sex and the City, I guess.
Even when they mention street names and things, you know where they're talking about.
Yeah, right. Okay, which, this one is a director. So Taika Waititi, which of his movies would you prefer to watch? What We Do in the Shadows, Hunt for the Wilder People, Thor Ragnarok, or Jojo Rabbit? So you got a list there you can pick one of.
I'm going to go with the obvious Ragnarok, but
it's a good movie. It's a very good movie.
I'm also going to go with Thor.
Tom, what about you?
I'm really struggling with this. It's like asking me to choose between children. I only have one. I think I have to say Hunt for the Wilder People.
That's the one that I'm picking because I watched it recently and it just makes you feel really good at this time.
Yeah, I want good things for Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, Ricky Bobby's pretty good. That's very good. Speaking of people who are really good, Leslie Nielsen, would you rather watch Airplane or Naked Gun 1?
Airplane.
See, I'm going to go Naked Gun because I just haven't watched it for years and I wouldn't mind seeing it again.
You know what? I'm going to go with Airplane. Simple reason is Naked Gun has O.J. Simpson in it and I can't look at him the same way.
Fair enough.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd probably pick Naked Gun.
Well, then I'm picking Naked Gun because of O.J. Simpson.
Is he in the third one? Because he's definitely in the second. Did they make Naked Gun 33 and a third before all the OJ drama? I can't remember. It wasn't a good movie. Those two were fun.
That trial, I was in like the seventh grade when that trial was happening. I mean, that's how long ago we're talking.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm 37 now, so.
Well, I do know you're a bit of a Star Wars fan, so I decided to have our final Would You Rather Star Wars related. Would you rather watch the Star Wars original trilogy, so the 1970s, early 80s.
Absolutely.
Prequels or sequels?
No other choices. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, I think you'd be hard pressed, especially for anyone to find prequels.
The other option was to have C-3PO come to your birthday party. Wait.
Is the original actor actually under the outfit?
Yes.
As far as I know, Anthony Daniels has to legally spend 40% of every day in that suit.
I don't know how I feel about Anthony Daniels after I heard he kind of attacked Alan Tudyk after Rogue One came out. You guys ever hear that story?
No, I haven't heard that.
I get Anthony Daniels' point. He's been typecast into one shit robot the whole time. I don't mean C-3PO shit. I mean being in that suit would be shit.
Yeah.
That'd be a terrible time.
You'd pinch your skin a lot, wouldn't you? Like you'd move your arms, you'd pinch your skin, you move your leg, you'd pinch
your... Let himself get fat if he wants to stay in that role.
Yeah.
Like, he can't turn his neck.
And then they throw them out in the desert.
And then this young whippersnapper comes along and all he has to do is wear some stilts and some dots. And
You're absolutely right. But Alan Tudyk still did a bang up job. I thought he was great.
He'll always be
Steve the Pirate to me though.
Yeah. He's also if you're looking for another great short bin show to watch, Doom Patrol, he's the villain on that and he is on some other level. He's a character that lives outside reality and is narrating things while he's also impacting the story and it's just Alan Tudyk turned to 12. It's a big flashy role. It's him. Him playing Mark Hamill, basically.
While we're on Star Wars, I do have a quick question that's been on my mind this whole time since we started. Leah, I know you told me you haven't really watched the series, but I'm sure you watch Clone Wars, of course, right? What are your thoughts on this current season 7 going on? I'm just curious.
I'm waiting. I'm going to watch it all as a bunch together.
Oh, see, I can't even bring it up then because
you'd be spoiling.
Well, you guys are going to have me back after the season ends.
You'll have to come back and talk because I understand there's all sorts of stuff happening. I'm very excited by the rumors that Captain Rex might be in Mandalorian season 2. I don't know exactly where it would fit, but I'm happy for it to find a way. You know, if Dave's involved in both, then I trust that it
might. Anything Dave Filoni touches turns to gold, as far as
that's
I'm concerned.
That's what I mean.
It's like Kathleen Kennedy got her hands on it.
I trust him to do something cool with it.
Absolutely.
How do you feel about that other piece of casting that came out this week?
Rosario?
Yeah.
I'm just going to let it happen and see what happens. I have mixed feelings because Ahsoka Tano, all we know as Ahsoka is the actress who voices her. I'm terrible with names, so you guys got to excuse me. You know, she was on Clone Wars. She was on, you know, Rebels. And she's always done a phenomenal job. She even, you know, has been able, when you watch the first few episodes of Clone Wars, she sounds so much more juvenile than she does in Rebels when she's an adult. She knows how to set a tone for Ahsoka. If they said, well, Rosario Dawson's going to play her because we can have her have the look, but we're going to have Ahsoka's voice actress dubbed over her, great. I don't think Rosario Dawson would appreciate that. I'd be okay with that because I don't adjust well to good change, let alone change at all. So I don't know. I hope she puts, if that's the case, and it's just going to be Rosario Dawson, no voice dub over anything like that, I really hope she puts 120% effort into it with trying to at least sound or have mannerisms like Ahsoka, so to speak.
Isn't she from Jersey? Is Rosario?
I don't know. I mean, she's Kevin Smith had her in Clerks too, so I'm not too sure. I got to look into that. Stephanie, you know? I'm trying to get Stephanie into Clone Wars, and she's kind of like, yeah. I've shown her a few episodes. I think there's one more I still want to show her, and she just does not seem to have any interest.
Not my thing.
Too many other shows to watch?
Too many.
Mm. Yeah. Well done with all the Would You Rathers, and thank you so much for coming on and having a chat during your one of only two nights a week off from having to work and be like ships in the night. It was a lot of fun, and hopefully we can grab you again soon to come on and guest with us here on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, we got to say thank you, guys. It was an honor to do this on one of our free nights together. It really was. I've been looking forward to this all week, and I'm definitely looking forward to coming back as long as you guys have it.
We've been planning this for a while. I'm so happy we could finally come together.
Yeah.
Stay safe, guys. Mm. Love you. You're awesome.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
And on that note, Tom, thank you very much.